All right, let's open our Bibles. And we are in 2 Corinthians this evening and in the fifth chapter. And again, just so thankful what God is doing here. But we finished off last week in the 15th and 16th verse. And with the wonderful words of encouragement from the Lord. And we saw there that really we're being encouraged to lay hold of the new man. To lay hold of the new man. To walk in the newness of the new creation. As it says there in the 16th verse and also in the 15th verse, leave self. Leave that self behind. Be the person that you really are, and that's the newness. That's the new creation, the new life that we have in Christ. And what the word here is encouraging us is to yield to that new creation. Praise God. We have that choice. As it said there, that we should not henceforth live unto ourselves. But by the grace of God, we should live for Christ. Christ in me is the hope of glory. So as we go on to this 17th verse, and it's a glorious 17th verse, let's think of that new creation that He has called us to and has made us. All right, therefore, in the 17th verse, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You don't take anything of the past with you. You don't take anything of that old with you in Christ. See, God can only see the new creation. And praise the Lord, as we were reading about, and I think rejoicing, I hope, that people are not afraid of it, that wonderful judgment seat of Christ where you will be judged of your rewards, whether it was profit or whether it was loss. This is what He's coming to. All the profit is only in the new life. It's only in that new creation. It's only by the grace of God. Only grace can build the profit in our life. Only grace can give us that wonderful reward and build faith in your life. It has to be a gift. It's nothing of ourselves. Over and over throughout the Word of God, again, giving me such peace. It puts all of it on Christ, doesn't it? Think of that. It's all His workmanship. That should make you rest so good at night. I don't have to think about what I have to do, who I'm supposed to be, what I'm going to be doing, or anything of that nature. It truly is in Christ's hand. And as it's in Christ's hand, I know it's in promise. I know it's in someone who's for me, and I know it's in the hand of very God, of very God. Whose hand would you want it in? You see the peace there? God really allowed me to start receiving that when I was in college. And I was so thankful because I thought of all the different things that were coming at me at that time. Who was I going to be? What was I going to study? Every kid was changing their major. I was thinking about getting married. All of those different things. And it was too much. It really was overwhelming. And it really was peace be still. Son, just trust me. You're my workmanship. You give it to me, all things. I've promised you all things work together for your good, son, because I've caused you to love me. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you love Him. You love Him. Now what Jesus is calling you to is to fall in love with Him. And that's where we're going. That's where God's taken us. And praise be to God that we have this. So again, this 17th verse, let's read it one more time. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, if you're a Christian here tonight, you're in Christ. You are a new creature. You're a new creation. Old things are passed away. So check them. They're gone. You didn't bring them with you. They're done. Behold, all things are become new. This is the invitation, brothers and sisters, to come into the full knowledge of this new creation. That sinful man is not you. That defeated man is not you. That man in despair is not you. You are a new creation. You have the very Spirit of Christ in your life. He put that life in you. Think about Galatians 2:20. You were crucified with Him. But now you live. And it's Christ that lives in you. That's the only life that you have. And you think about the very life of Christ. That's what the ability that you have that's working for you in your life. The power that's there. The peace, the rest, the comfort, the wisdom, the knowledge, all of those things. But as we said before, you think of how Christ came. He came as a babe. So where are you at in that life of His image? Are you as the baby? Are you as the boy? Huh? Remember the boy that was in the temple? By the grace of God, we want to become that mature Son of God, ready to be offered as Paul, as Christ. See, that's the very image that He wants us to come to. That knowledge, that excitement that we can take upon that wonderful cross that He says, pick up your cross. I came upon that cross because of the joy that was set before me. I endured it. Now is that same joy in our life, brothers and sisters, that we're really willing to go on. And this is that call and that encouragement of God and Christ in us that wants us to go on. But again, that sinful man is not us. And by faith, we're encouraged to leave it behind. Literally in this verse, it says, the new has come. And I love this thought. The grace of God not only justifies us. I'm not only justified. It wasn't stopped there, and it was a wonderful thing that God has justified me, but He's also made me new creation. Do you understand that? I'm so thankful. It's wonderful that I would be justified, that I would be accepted. But He wanted me to live a conquering life. He wanted me to live victorious. He wanted me to be able to grow up. So He had to give me His very life in order to do that. And in that, brothers and sisters, that gives me the ability to live this wonderful life that He's given. To dwell in it, to rest in it. The grace of God fulfills that verse 15 where it says, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. That's Christ in me that gives me that ability. That's Christ in me that I'm so thankful for, that when I'm faced with hardship, when I'm faced with making decisions, temptation, whatever it may be, I can rely on Christ in me. Do you rely on Christ in you? I hope you do, because that's the only thing that's going to get you through it. But that's who you are. And that's the confidence that we can have, is it's in wonderful Jesus Christ in us. Okay, let's go to verse 18. And all things are of God. Again, what comfort, what peace. All things are of God. Now again, a lot of people would look at you and say, now wait a second. How could all things be of God in your life? Look at this and this and what you did here and all of that. Well, that wasn't you. I still go back and tell you, your new creation. You're righteous and holy. You're acceptable to God. And you are accepted of God. You are accepted in the Beloved. You are encouraged to go boldly to that throne of grace. He made intercession for us. Praise God. He's made us accepted to God. So that's so wonderful, as He tells me here, that all things are of God. All things are of my Father. And again, I am so thankful of these excessive. It's always all. It's complete. It's not just things are of God, or as it said back here, behold, things are become new. It's all things. It's all inclusive. It's your entire life that He wants. Praise God. And His entire Son is what He's given each and every one of us. So it says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now this is the foundation of the new creation. God did it. Look at that. See what He says here? And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. It was God. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. God wanted that reconciliation. God wanted that family as well. And He gave His only begotten Son. Do you see the love of God? How far reaching it is, and how much God loves you? He wanted you for Himself. And he gave his son. That was the plan. And that was the only way it was ever going to happen. God wanted you. And let me tell you something again. I've got two boys. I can't ever imagine giving my boys for anything. If any of you have children, I would challenge you. Would you give your children for anything? Now, they may have done something today and you might give them away for free. But I'm really telling you, would you give them away for anything? And you'd say, no, oh no. Those are my babies. Sure, they can disappoint you at times, but those are my babies. This was God's son. And he gave him to be reconciled to you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just precious? He gave him to be reconciled to me. Reconciled means from enmity to peace. We were in adversity. But now I have peace with God because of his son. Because of his wondrous son, I have peace with God. With Christ Jesus and his blood that has made the atoning for me. Hallelujah. I'm accepted always, always, and forever. Amen? Oh, I hope we know that. See, we get that and we can grow. We really can. We can go on with God and we can be confident in him. That's when I can be more than a conqueror through Christ, in Christ, because he loves me. Because of that great love, I'm not in fear anymore of the failure. I'm not in fear anymore of the sin. I'm not in fear anymore of the despair or all of these different things because I understand truly how much God loves me. And that it's inseparable. I cannot be separated from his love. It's there. It will always be there. Forever. Praise God. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. And these are just marvelous verse upon verse upon verse. That God was in Christ. See, God is not Christ. God was in Christ. That's why you get these people that think, well, Jesus only. No, they're two distinct, and then we have the Holy Spirit as well, too. And they're all working in absolute harmony. Yes, they're three, but they're also three in one. Praise God. Always in perfect unison. So again, we have here this wonderful Christ, and God is in Christ, and God in Christ is allowing and empowering this wonderful Lord who came to this earth to be in the perfect will of God, and he completely yielded himself. That for God's plan to be developed. And what was God's plan? It was for mankind to be saved. This reconciliation to happen. This whole plan that, yes, son, we were back there in ages past and all of this, and we talked about all this, and we agreed. And we agreed that we were going to create this human race. And this human race, by the grace of God, again, my grace and your grace and all of our grace, because we love, is going to reconcile. It's going to make us a family. We're going to have a family of people that are in our own image that are going to have free will. And yes, this world has free will. And I have to tell you that free will in a lot of ways is awful sad when you look at it. Because of all of the cursing. And all of the rejection. And all of the pretense. And all of the hate. But you know what the Lord told me? He said, no, son. You dwell upon the good. The good report. And the lovely. And the pure and the true. And all of the wonderful things of my spirit. Because it's all going to be around you. I didn't just keep you from the world. No, I put you in the world. But hallelujah, he set me apart from it while I'm in it. And he keeps me from it. Because by the grace of God, I'm encapsulated and saturated with his love. That's the thing. praise His name that He's got us like that. But see, His plan was for man to be saved. And His plan, praise God, was that in His Son's death, in my place, for my sins, that by faith in that, I am now reconciled to God. Praise His name. That's the plan. All right, going on to verse 20. It says, so now that we're reconciled, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So here we have this word ambassadors. See, this is more than a messenger, brothers and sisters. This means the ministers of light. Did you realize that as a child of God and as one going after the things of God, and as God is encouraging us in Corinthians through Brother Paul to follow Him as He followed Christ Jesus, is to be this minister of light. To whom much is given, much is required. I don't want to hide my light. I want my light to shine. By the grace of God, we go back to the reward time. I know I'm assured of heaven, but I want a reward. I don't want to discourage you. I want, by the grace of God, to bring encouragement. I want to bring that honey the Word of God talks about. I want to live Christ in me, the hope of glory, in sincerity and in truth. That it will edify, that it's to your joy, as Brother Paul, we've read already, is that I'm not trying to have any dominion over your faith. Your faith is by the grace of God between you and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I just want to add to it. I want to add to your joy in that faith that we can come together like tonight and we can rejoice as family and knowing in our hope and in this life that we have that we're building the precious stone tonight. The things that we can lay into the storehouse like we talked about Sunday. Because you know what? By the grace of God, if we get to tomorrow, you're going to need it. You're going to need it. That's what's going to get you through. You're going to have to lay it up and you're going to have to draw it out. And you lay it up and you draw it out. It's just like your bank account. You should be able to take your paycheck and put it in your checking account. Hopefully so you do that. I don't know. But what, why you're doing that is you're earning, you're receiving, you're putting it in, and then you'll draw it out every month to pay your bills. Because those are the things that you need to do. It's the same thing with the storehouse, brothers and sisters. We're laying up this wonderful wealth. And it's faith is what you're laying up. And the more faith, by the grace of God, that we'll embrace, the bigger that account grows. Now, it's also, too, there's going to be bigger trials and bigger things to overcome. Oh, yes. So, no, God will meet that exactly right. It'll be poured in, but it'll also all be poured out. That's the beautiful thing about the Lord. He'll challenge that faith because it's more precious than gold. It's just like when He would give to those different ones, those different brothers, where He gave them one talent and He gave another one 10 talents. He knows what to give you. Just invest it. And invested in Him. Praise the Lord. All right. So this word ambassador, these ministers of light, these ones that bring forth this message of the reconciliation of grace, even has a little further meaning, and was reading about this and I thought that the Lord put it on my heart to share with you. This ambassador in the Roman Empire, and this was the time of the Roman Empire, there were two types of rules. Or rulership, I should say, over the different territories that Rome had. And the two types of ruling at that time was senatorial rule and imperial rule. And stay with me because you're thinking, oh, why is he talking about this? Well, it really does have a connection here. But what it is that the areas that had the senatorial rule were the areas or these regions that were at peace with Rome. And they were very happy to be under Roman rule. And they surrendered to Roman rule. So Rome had this Senate, basically somewhat like our Senate. They all bickered and never agreed and were always trying to stab each other in the back. But they called it a Senate because it was for the people. And that is what would rule the provinces that were at peace with Rome. But then there was another type of ruling that came out of Rome, and that was called the imperial ruling. And the imperial ruling was for regions that were not peaceful with Rome. They were still under Rome, but they were, in a sense, rejecting it. They were not in harmony with it. They were disobedient to it. But this emperor ruling, basically what would happen there, this imperial ruling, I should say, is that the emperor himself would have to rule over those territories. And the emperor couldn't be in this territory and that territory and all of these different things. So what he would do is he would send out these ambassadors. And the ambassadors would then be the rulers over those territories directly under the emperor. And how precious this is, as you can see, these Christian ambassadors that Christ is calling us to be, we are being sent out truly into a hostile world. People are defiant. They don't want to agree with this rule. Think about it. Nobody wants to say, well, even as Christians, when I tell them, I said, why are you doing that? Why are you not surrendering to God? Do you realize that it says in the Word of God that you are not your own? You're not your own. But see, we have a problem with that, don't we? Because we want to be defiant. Now, how can I even get mad at my children? There's a nature in them, isn't there? They want to be defiant. But see, if I spare the rod of correction, if I get lazy and not be persistent in being the parent that I need to be to my kids, how much more so is God going to be persistent to His children? Okay? Whom He loves, He chastens. He's going to chasten you. Period. Okay? And He's going to keep coming after you. And He's going to keep coming after you until someday you realize, you say, Lord, I'm not my own. I'm yours. And when we get to that point, brothers and sisters, it's so absolutely marvelous. Because really, that's when we have faith to trust Him that, Lord, I am yours. You put the very life of your Son in me. And you know what? That's what works. That really does work. When I trust you for things, when I'm in harmony with God, I don't know if you're in harmony with God tonight, but at any time you've ever been in harmony with God, it was the best time of your life. And I know none of us can disagree with that. As Christians, be honest in the Lord. You may be running hard. You may be running fast right now. You may be being very defiant to your family, to whatever it is, but what your defiance is to God. You'll be sorry. You will be sorry. You'll be remorseful. Because it will be wasted time. It'll be that loss. And see, God is so after us, brothers and sisters. We're marked. I love how He brought that to me at a young age. And I mean, He brought that to me. You're marked. You're mine. And it's never going to sit right with you until you yield to me. And that's every one of God's children. Because He loves us. And He doesn't love us any differently. He just loves His children. I've only got two. The other day I thought I had three, remember? But I only have two. Some of them have seven or ten. If you're the right kind of parent, I'd ask you, which one do you love more? You don't. You just love them. You just love them. And you want the best for all of them. And you'll do anything that you could do in your power to bring the best to every one of them. But isn't it amazing, even in that little family, and they're all from the same genetic pool, but yet they're all different. And they all have a different need. And they all have different strengths. And they all have different weaknesses. And you wonder why we all are tried in different ways, aren't we, family? Yeah. Because God knows. God created us. And this is that wonderful encouragement that He's bringing us, is as this ambassador. He's beseeching us, is what it says here. And that's calling us to His side to be reconciled, this wonderful, very righteousness of God that He's bringing us. Let's go ahead to verse 21 here. For He hath made Him, what a wondrous verse, For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All right? This is the very heart of the gospel, brothers and sisters. This is it. This is the whole point. This is how it all came to be. All right? Sinless Christ. Absolute. Don't let the world pollute it or the enemy try to pollute your mind. Sinless, perfect Lamb of God. Not a spot, not a fault. But yes, he became a man. And let me tell you, became a man for me. Left that throne of glory and became a man. Suffered in every way. Was tried in every way. He knows every single hurt, pain, thrill, joy, despair, discouragement, whatever it may be. He knows it. Not because he's God, but because he became man. That's what we really need to embrace, is that love. Yes, he could have, in a sense we think, well, couldn't he have done it another way? God is infinite, but it had to be that way. And if that doesn't encourage you as a human to think, again, very God of very God, would come and be that for you. Now you understand even a little bit more tonight when he said, I reconciled. God said, I reconciled you to me. I loved you so much, I sent my son. And I sent my son to die upon that cross and to become this sin. And you think about this too. He became everybody's sin. He became all sin, didn't he? Because he said, I would that all men be saved. See, he made the provision for everyone. Now that moves me. Because he loved everybody. And God so loved this world of everybody that he sent his son to die for all of it. So there isn't anything that you've ever done that he didn't die for. That's not completely nailed to that cross. That's put in the very sea of forgetfulness. That by his grace and you accepting him by faith tonight, you've become the very righteousness of God. Marvelous, isn't it? Just marvelous. Just magnificent. Sinless Christ becoming sin for me so that I could be made God's righteousness. Justified. There is none righteous, no, not one. That's how it was. That's how it is. But he had to come. He had to die. Romans 3:22. If you read that, it says, even the righteousness of God. And see, there's only one righteousness. There's only that will ever last and be profitable. It's the righteousness of God. See, self-righteousness is nothing. It's despicable. You talk about loss. But it's the righteousness of God in Romans 3:22, which is by one way. One way. You think how Christianity, and I will say Christianity today, how the enemy has distorted that so. It's not by anything else but by faith of Jesus Christ upon all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. We're not different at all here tonight. I pray and trust God that everyone in this building believes in Christ as Savior. And you know what in that? There's no difference. We are one. We are one body. This is a love that God has given us that needs to be a love without any hypocrisy. Okay? Now again, the Word of God gives us that example. I have a body, you have a body. Now you may like it or not, but I don't think in your right mind you're not going to go out and destroy any part of it tonight. Well, I don't like my finger. I think I don't like my nose or my ear or whatever it may be. Well, I'm telling you what, I'm going to leave it alone. And if anything, if there's a weaker part, I might try to nurture it a little bit. What do you think, huh? Maybe if something's a little sore, do you think maybe getting some Epsom salt or a little Bactine or whatever it may be and put it on there to be a salve? Something's given me a little bit of problem. I'm not going to go over there and try to hurt it more. I'm going to be tender to it. Why do you think He gave you this wonderful body, brothers and sisters? It's a type of His glorious body. It is. Think about how He's told us about that. Think about what He's given us here. How marvelous, how fabulous it can be. Especially when it's working in harmony. You think of these athletes that we watch and the different skaters and all of those different things. How coordinated they are. And how when that body works as one, it's one of the most magnificent things there ever is. When they slow-mo an athlete, you know, whether it was Michael Jordan, it looked like he was doing ballet in the air. And you know it. Because everything was in coordination. It was just perfect. How much more so the body of Christ. Do you see how when we get out of joint with one another, we say, oh, I'm not going to fellowship with him. You know, I'm talking about when we're truly seeking the things of God. I hear about people that won't fellowship with you because you come to this place. Shame on them. Shame on them. If we're of like faith, oh, the much the more as we see that day approaching. Huh? Were you reconciled to God by anything but grace? Huh? What did you merit to favor, get God's favor? Huh? See? It's a wondrous body, isn't it? I'm part of you, you're part of me, and I'm loving you more and more every day. Appreciate my body. Hallelujah. Yep. Appreciating how good this body used to feel. See, that's why I'm even counting more on you. Praise God that He's bringing us in to that harmony. Okay, let's keep going. Chapter 6. Exciting here. All right. Going on with the ministry. Going on with the magnificence of the testimony of the love of God in sincerity and truth in our lives, brothers and sisters. It's a wonderful thing to be used of the Lord. It is, isn't it? Amen? Oh, I hope it is to you. When God uses you. And one of the most magnificent things about when God uses you is when you don't know it, isn't it? When you're just about being who God made you to be. Didn't even open your mouth. Didn't even do anything. But wasn't it amazing how it witnessed to somebody else? Well, I was just, yeah, you were just being the new creation who you are. And God does the work. Magnificent. Magnificent. All right. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you, that means again, bringing you close, nigh to God, you also, that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Now we've heard that before. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. Paul said this about receiving the grace of God in vain. And he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, you are what you are, and I am what I am, and everybody is what everybody is. By the grace of God. Anything profitable. All right? And His grace which was bestowed, meaning that word bestowed, remember that means free gift? It was a free gift. Amen. Grace is a free gift. Upon me was not in vain. And here was the proof of it. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. All right? I want you to turn over to Galatians for a moment. I do believe, again, you study these things. Sometimes you think something's to study for yourself, but I believe God's just continuing to bring this stuff out, more out, more out. But go to Galatians here, chapter 2 and verse 21. Now, if you're not familiar with the book of Galatians, Paul preached to these people for quite some time, and the word of God was given to them mightily. And throughout the scriptures here, Paul is starting to chastise them. He tells them, "Who bewitched you?" He says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh?" Okay. I want you to read this verse 21 with me, and you'll see why they were getting foolish, why they were being bewitched. "I do not frustrate." That word frustrate means make void. It's exactly what it means. "I do not make void the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." So again, brothers and sisters, where the grace of God is made void in your life is when you're rejecting that and relying on self. Do you see? Now think about what the Word of God tells us. How do we grow? We grow in grace. We grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do we get inheritance? It's the Word of His grace that builds us up and gives us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. It's all about grace. It's a free gift. It's bestowed. Now again, for years and years and years, we have heard this. All by the grace of God. How wonderful. But how we continue to slip and neglect so great salvation is really what it is. Because the salvation is grace. We're reconciled freely. Okay? Nothing to merit but in Christ. All by grace. And in that, you have the liberty to grow up into Him in all things. That's the freedom. That's the very freedom that we have. So going on here. "We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." Now we have workers together. It has to be together. We're co-laborers. We are co with Christ, co-heirs with Christ. The working of truth and love, which is the beginning of grace received in profit. And really what he's getting at here is that we received grace. When we believed, we received that grace. There was no other way. But if we do not continue in grace, brothers and sisters, if we do not continue in grace, we miss out on the rewards that we read about there in 2 Corinthians 5:10 at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to miss on what, like we talked about, what could have been. What could have been. And I do want to emphasize this, because I know through the Word of God how the enemy works. And you know how he works with bridal saints and ones that are running for his best? It's very subtle. Very subtle. He tries to puff you up. He tries to get you to think that you're better than somebody else because you have received more faith, in a sense, in believing God's Word in His depth than somebody else. You start to get a little bit judgmental towards someone else. You start to believe that your life and your race course is more perfect than the other guy's. Because what happens is I start looking at someone else's race course and I understand and start to see that there's different liberties in that course than mine. And then I start to judge those. And that's self-righteousness. And I'm being defeated. Okay? That's why we hit this over and over and over. He knows what a weak vessel we are. And we need to be encouraged and continually reminded, brothers and sisters, it's grace. And every moment of our life, we need that grace, don't we? Every moment. Praise God. Because you know why you're going to need it? Because you're going to fail. And you're going to sin. And the enemy's going to come at you and say, now wait a second here. Aren't you the one that believes in eternal security and filled with the Holy Spirit? And you were jumping around here just last week and praising God and speaking in tongues and all of that stuff. And you were rejoicing with brother and sister so-and-so at lunch the other day and thinking about Christ coming. And you just did that. Yeah, you're going to need the grace of God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then by the grace of God, if you're continuing in Him and allowing Him to strengthen you to live that wonderful, pleasing life, you're going to need to be strengthened in the grace of God to continue on. Uh-huh. Everything's got a season. You're going to need the grace of God in the mountaintop and in the valley. I know it because I go there often. Each place. Daily. Pretty much. My seasons seem to be a little bit more compacted nowadays. I need a lot of grace, brothers and sisters. A lot of grace. But see, I know He's sufficient to get me through. And I think it's exciting because it's not something that, you know, I go into despair and depression in this. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about the cycling of burdens that He brings in your life. I'm talking about the profit of a trial that He brings in your life. And as you love more, brothers and sisters, and as you embrace that family more and more, you're going to have more trial. Just going to have it. It's the truth. You live on an island and you just have yourself to deal with. Not going to have that many problems, are you? Right? Okay. You get in a continent and you get in a city. Ooh, my. With a lot of people. A lot of diversity. Thank God for grace. Huh? Thank God for grace. All right. Let's move on here a little bit and we'll wrap it up. So, let's turn over to Acts 20:32, continuing on with this thought of grace. Such a wonderful verse here. Quoted it already. I want you to continue to mark this and allow the Lord to establish this in our hearts, that it's, again, this is who we are. And this is what we are. And this is what we need. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. See, it's the word of His grace. Everything about His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Okay? Do you see how it doesn't come from acts of righteousness? And really, I want to say it this way, acts of self-righteousness. Isn't that what the world publishes in things? You'll know by the faith, the works of faith in someone's life. See, that's God's righteousness. That's not self-righteousness. That's the things that He brings through our life. Not something that I set out to do to make myself known or make myself feel good. It's what God does in my life. That's the faith that He brings. All right, moving on to verse 2. For He saith, I have heard thee in an accepted time, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This comes out of Isaiah 49:8 when he's talking about bringing his people back. The emphasis is on now. Today is the day of grace, is what he's saying here. Today, right now, is the moment of grace. And by the grace of God, we don't want to falter as those that he's referring to here in verse 1, who received the grace of God in vain. They neglect so great salvation. They don't redeem the time. They're not ready now. They're not living the testimony of Christ Jesus in the moment. Operating in the Spirit? Huge thing. I want to operate in that wonderful Spirit. I want my life to be coming into that wonderful fellowship with Jesus Christ, that He is alive in me. That's the grace of God. It's that love of God living and alive and working and thriving in my life. So then we go over here to verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. See, I don't want to give an occasion for stumbling. I don't want to have a fault, in a sense, to be found in the ministry of this grace, is what Paul is saying here, that was due to Paul. I want to be, listen to this, to be set for the defense of the gospel. I don't want to be part of the offense of the gospel. See the difference? And that's when we live a life of no testimony. That's when we live a life when we start departing from faith. I want to be strengthened by His might, the very power of God. Isn't that wonderful? Christ Jesus. But it's got to be the Holy Spirit that takes the things of Christ and makes them mine. And I have that. He's promised that. You have that as well too. But that's the life of victory. That's the life of testimony. That's the life, as Paul is saying here, that can have an effectual testimony. And he goes on to say, and we're going to stop here, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Okay? Approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Now that word approving means commending. And you remember back in chapter 3 how he said that we're not like those others that are commending ourselves by papers written by other people, by institutions. You know, maybe it was by a seminary. I remember I slipped that one talk time and called it a cemetery. It's not by those types of letters. Huh? Oh, you say, well, Jess, you just say that because you didn't go to one. No, I say that because you know what? If you're going to be an apostle or if you're going to be a preacher, you better be called of God. Period. You're not going to have any power. It's not going to have any effectual working. See, God does it. And you know what? I'm getting satisfied with Jesus that He does it. It's a precious thing. And it is powerful. It's amazingly powerful. And God has an anointing, and He's anointed each and every one of His children, if we will accept that anointing in a way beyond what you can ever even think. But He's given that to you. And if we'll just go with it, and really with that anointing that I'm speaking about here, is you have the life of His Son. You don't think that's an anointing? Oh my goodness. You can't limit the power of God, but you can limit it to what you're going to receive. It's a powerful thing. Incredibly powerful thing. It's the most powerful thing. It's the only powerful thing. But see, what we're going to read about here is that Brother Paul is saying, I'm commending myself here as a minister of God, not by papers, not by somebody telling me that I was a minister, but by the evidence of the working of faith in my life. By the works of faith. See, faith without works is dead. It is. And this is Brother Paul. And we're going to talk about, as Brother Copley calls them, the 28 planks. There's 28 things. And we're going to go over these, God willing, next week if He tarries. But you think about how we have heaps of preachers at this time. And we do have heaps of preachers. And they're all commending themselves. Right? These 28 things, as we get reading them, if the Lord tarry, we wouldn't have heaps of preachers if that was the commending level. And it is the commending level. Because, see, that's God's measure. That's God's blueprint. And a lot of people always question, they say, well, how do I know if I'm in the very will of God? Over and over in the Word of God, you can find out. It says, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. This is such a wonderful picture of someone who really is in harmony with Christ and what your life will bring. And as we study these things, brothers and sisters, it won't be something strange to you. You'll find out that He's going to work patience. He's going to work afflictions, necessities, distresses, stripes, tumult, watchings, fastings, pureness, knowledge, long-suffering, kindness, the Holy Ghost, love and feigned, word of truth, power of God, armor of righteousness. On and on and on. And as I was talking to my sweet Sister Garcia, she's not here so I can talk about her. See, if you don't show up, you never know what happens. But all praise be to God. As I was talking to her and she was requesting prayer, and it was sweet how she was joined in so many of these things, and they were right before me because I was just right in the study of that section today. And I said, well, I'm going down the checklist here, sister. And she says, well, what do you mean? I said, well, I keep checking every single one of these. You must be in harmony with God. Harmony with God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for bringing us here. We thank you for your word. We, again, thank you for giving us this life. We thank you for increasing this life. And Lord, allow us to yield to you that it becomes abundant life, because this is our life. And Lord, I do again thank you for the excitement and the encouragement that you bring, and that your word never returns void. And Lord, we're thankful that the grace is working effectually in these lives here tonight, and that it is building an inheritance. And praise God, I think about those that are sanctified. I think about you talking about in the Word of God, whether it be David and Moses and Ruth and Esther and all these heroes of faith. But Lord, as you promised there in Hebrews, but yet there's something better. There's even something better. Oh, help us to wake up to that tonight. Help us to be excited. I don't care what might be going on in a life here tonight, but help us to just treasure and embrace the glory that you've allowed us to live this day. We thank you for it and praise you in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.